What's up, guys? You guys are awesome. You guys are funny. You guys probably didn't know my last name was Manuel. That's why you were like, right? That's okay. All right, yeah. Well, my name is Laura, and I'm really excited to be here with you guys. I love HSM. I love what, oh my gosh, can we just acknowledge that you guys are growing? Like, you guys are like, you guys were tiny when you first started, now you're huge. And that's just a huge testament of what God's doing in this place through Pastor Sawyer, through Destiny, through all of you guys. So I'm so excited to be here tonight. And I just love the fellowship and the community that's happening here on a Sunday night. And I know that you guys had some crazy spiritual fellowship last night at the movies. I'm talking about Toy Story 4. Who's seen Toy Story 4 yet? Come on. Yes, I laughed, I cried. It was sad. Every emotion that God has given me in my bones, I experienced it. So if you probably weren't even, were any of you guys alive when Toy Story 1 came out? That was like negative five. Yeah, you don't even know, right? Okay. I think it came out in 1995, so I was 5 years old. Or four. Yeah. All right, cool. Anyways, so I love movies. How many of you guys love movies? I love movies. Yes, I love them. I love music, but I really do think I love movies just a little bit more. And Fred will tell you, he kind of gets a little irritated with me because I put on a movie for everything. When I'm getting ready, when I'm about to go to bed, or we're about to go to dinner, there's always a movie on in the background playing, or there's an episode of The Office playing. There's something playing. And I'm like, it kind of drives him nuts because he's like, we have to go. We're going to be late. And I'm like, wait, I got to see if Jim and Pam get together, you know? So anyways, so yeah, I love movies. And so tonight I kind of wanted to refer to a movie. You guys might know it. It's called Madagascar. Do we know Madagascar? Yeah, we love Madagascar. Okay, so if you don't know Madagascar, let me kind of just share a little bit about it with you. So it's about wild animals. They live in a zoo. There's a zebra, there's a lion, there's a hippo, I think that's what she is, and there's a giraffe, thank you. Yes, and so, and there's like little penguins and stuff, right? So so these people, or these animals, they live in a zoo. Marty the zebra, he is he's a big part of this movie. And so it's cool because when the movie starts, we see him, the scene opens up with this. He's running through the wild and he's in the jungle and he's like running with the wind blowing through his hair, and he starts doing like some weird stuff like this, and like he's laughing and all this stuff. And then, you know, camera zooms out, and then we come to find out that reality sets in. He's actually running on a treadmill, staring at a picture, at a poster of the jungle, right? And so it's kind of silly, it's kind of funny. But before I get too much into that, I want us to take a look at this scene. This is the life.
That's the spot. Oh, I'm in heaven.
Ooh, it's Mama's birthday.
Just rip it open.
What is it? What is it?
Come on, open it up. What
you
got?
Yeah!
It's a Mama!
Thanks.
I love it, Melvin. I love it.
Yeah, I wanted to give you something personal. You know, that was my first rectal thermometer.
Mama!
Okay, I'm gonna miss that bad boy.
Get the key. Come on.
Happy birthday to you.
You live in a zoo.
You
look like a monkey.
And
you smell like
one, two.
I say.
Oh, well now, you guys are just embarrassing me and yourselves.
What are you talking about? We worked on that all week.
Let's go. Let's make a wish, baby cakes.
Come on, what'd you wish for?
Nope. Can't tell you that.
Come on, tell.
No, siree. I'm telling you. It's bad luck. You want some bad luck? I'll blab it out. But if you want to be safe,
oh, for crying out loud, Marty, would you just tell us? I mean, really, what could happen?
Okay. I wished I could go
to the wild.
The wild?
Whoa! I told you it was bad luck.
The wild? Are you nuts? That is the worst idea I've ever heard. It's unsanitary.
The penguins are gone, so why can't I?
The penguins are psychotic.
Come on. Just imagine going back to nature. Back to your roots, clean air, wide open spaces.
Well, I hear they have wide open spaces in Connecticut.
Connecticut?
Yeah, what you gotta do is you gotta go over to Grand Central, and then you gotta take the Metro North train. North?
So one could take the train, just hypothetically.
Marty, come on. What would Connecticut have to offer us?
Lyme disease.
Thank you, Melman.
No, no, really, really. I just...
There's certainly none of this in the wild. But, this is but, a highly but, refined but, type of but, food but, thing that you do not find in the wild.
You ever thought there might be more to life than steak, Alex?
He didn't mean that, baby. No.
Doesn't it bother you guys that you don't know anything about life outside this zoo?
Nuh-uh.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
Well, I mean, come on, that's just one subject. You got a little,
All right, cool. So that's going to help set us up for tonight. But I love that the line says, that's just one subject. Like, this is their whole life, right? So I wanted to talk about this because I think this picture paints, or I think this scene paints a really good picture of how we view church. You know, I think some of us view church like it's a zoo. Like we have, you know, mom and dad, they go to big church and that's where they get fed. And my little brother and sister, they go to little church and that's where they get fed. And I go to HSM and that's where I get fed. And, you know, as long as we're all in our cages at the right time on a Sunday morning, then we're living this crazy God-fulfilled life, right? But I think God wants something so much more for us. Like kind of what the zebra was saying to the lion, he's like, don't you feel like something more than just eating steaks and having your, if you saw in the beginning of that scene, like they had these little butler guys like coming out, like serving them, right? And how many of us kind of have that mindset when we come to church? We're like, all right, I'm here. You serve me now, you know? But I think God wants us to experience life. No, I know God wants us to experience life outside of these church walls. And he wants us to experience a life that is wild in him. And so, you know, church is amazing. And I've gone to church my whole life and I love it so much. And I, you know, am a firm believer that it is what helps us. It is a tool that helps us grow in our maturity in Christ. But you guys have probably heard this phrase before. We're not called to just be the church. We're not called to just go to church. We're called to be the church. And so, you know, if we can't, you know, to be the church, that means to be the hands and feet of Jesus to our friends around us, right? And to our family. But how can we be his hands and feet if we don't even know how he walked? If he's not even real to us in our lives? And if he's not even actively moving in us personally? And you see, I'm not talking tonight about being a good person, and I'm not talking about just like having good morals, but I'm talking about finding genuine satisfaction in the person of Jesus Christ and found that you are made completely whole in him. And you know, because if we view our experience with God as something that only takes place in this habitat, then I think we're going to be really missing out on the true adventure and this wild ride that he has for us. And none of us were meant to be caged up, and neither was the truth spoken here. And Jesus wants us to experience him in ways unimaginable and ways that are wild. So before we get into our message tonight, are you guys ready? Yes. Do you love the word of God? Yes. Okay, awesome. Let's go ahead and pray and ask his Holy Spirit to just... like be in here tonight. I know Pastor Sawyer already prayed about that earlier, but let's ask him even to work through me. I've prepared as much as I can, but if there's something that he doesn't want me to say, we can ask for him to take that away and for him to just say what he needs to say to the hearts that need to hear it tonight. So let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your presence, God. We thank you that we have access to your presence, even in this moment, Lord. you don't call us to just go to church and just to have fun, even though we do have fun in you, God, but you call us to live a life that is wild and to live a life that is full of you and this journey with you, God. And so we pray that tonight our eyes and our ears and our hearts are just open to receive your word. God, we know that your word is perfect and it never returns void, God. And so I just pray that we're all walk in here open-handed, ready to receive you, God. And pray that you use me and that you do what only you can do. And it's in your holy name that we pray. Amen. Awesome. Okay, this is the title of my message. My message title is called Born to be Wild. Yeah! No, Jay, I'm a real pastor. I came up with that. So I'm like real, right? No. Okay, my first point life with God is wild. Okay, so here we go. What does that mean? Life with God was wild. Okay, some of you might have experienced this. Life with God, it doesn't look the same like for everyone. Like sometimes like life seems like it's really good and it seems like we're like conquering and it seems like we're like hashtag winning, right? And then sometimes life with God kind of looks like a mess. Like it kind of looks like, or just life in general looks like a mess. And it's a little bit challenging and we start to feel twists and turns and we start to feel like we're going on this crazy ride and it feels unknown. And, you know, in all of my life, I've been a Christian for like a very long time. And I can say that this life with God is a wild ride, but it for sure is a ride that's worthwhile. And so tonight I kind of wanted when I think about this life with God, I think about this illustration. So it looks something like this. You know, for some of us, when we enter this new life with Jesus Christ, we think that it's going to look something like this. So this is a really boring looking roller coaster. So I tried to find the most boring one I could find. So sometimes we think, you know, our life looks like a roller coaster. You know, there's like ups and downs and it's obvious that we're on this ride, but it's clear that we can see the road ahead of us and that it's going to be steady and we're going to be able to get through it, right? But, you know, I think in reality, when we look at this life with Christ, it looks more like this. And do you guys know that ride? I think it's Windjammer. Do you guys know Windjammer? Okay, I'm old. All right. Okay. Six Flags. Okay, here we go. So it's wild. It's crazy. There's ups and downs and there's sharp turns and there's loops and it's thrilling and it's fearful all at the same time. And for some of us, we're prepared for this ride, and although we're nervous about it, we're confident knowing that this ride will one day be over, and we'll be able to walk on steady ground. Thank you, Jesus. And, you know, if I'm honest, in all of my years of walking with Christ, I have just seen way too many people fall off of this ride, and mostly it's because they're just unprepared. They're not prepared for the twists and the turns, and they're not prepared for the loops. They're not prepared for any of it. And so, you know, the way that they weren't prepared is that they were not strapped down. They did not have the protective gear they needed. And we need to be strapped down. And how you are to be strapped down, it's in this thing. So if you don't know, go get one. I like Pastor Noah. He does this thing every week, and we make fun of him for it. He goes, like you're blowing dust off. Anyways, I know you guys don't have to blow dust off because you guys read it every day. Anyways, okay. And you probably read it on your phones. Okay, so anyways, so I was that person, honestly. Okay, so I was actually that person that once fell off the ride. And it was because I was not grounded in this truth. I was grounded in the truths that were around me. And the truths that, you know, hey girl, that's your body. You can do with it whatever you want. Or, YOLO was huge when I was in high school. YOLO, you only live once, right? Like, and like, and so I honestly, I tuned into those voices And because I tuned into those voices, it eventually drowned out the only voice that really mattered, and that was Jesus. So tonight, we're going to be digging into the book of Exodus. So the story of Exodus paints a really good picture of what it looks like to get caught up in your circumstance and forget the voice of God. And so let's see, how many of you are familiar with this book? Yes? Kind of? Yeah, cool. Moses, yeah, you might have seen the movie Prince of Egypt. Remember, I like movies. Yes, that's a great movie. 10 out of 10 recommend. It's way better than Madagascar. So I'm going to just like kind of do the spark notes of the movie a little bit, or actually of the book. The book is better than the movie. So in chapters 1 through 12, we hear the story of Moses and how God uses him to deliver his people out of slavery. So basically, the Israelites are enslaved in Egypt for a very long time. And for most of their life, they were under Joseph. We've talked about Joseph here at HSM. They were under his leadership in the Pharaoh before. And things were like okay back then. But then years later, they got a new Pharaoh. And in this guy, he did not like Israelites at all. So much so that he ended up killing, ordering that like all of the firstborn, or not firstborn, but all of like the new baby boys be killed. And so he pretty much wipes out a generation of kids. And so he does not like them. Life there is rough. And they pretty much start calling out to God and saying, God, will you deliver us? This is too hard. I can't take it. So God hears their cry, because God always hears our cries. And he comes through for them. And how he does that is he sends Moses. And so Moses comes out, and or he speaks to Moses through a burning bush. You guys might remember that. You know, he's like, Moses, you're going to be the guy that's going to go help these people. And Moses is like, who am I? Like, why are you going to send me? And God reassures him. He says, I will be with you every step of the way. Like, you don't have to worry about it. I'm going to be with you on this journey. So Moses goes out and he listens to God. And then he goes to Pharaoh and he's like, hey, Pharaoh, I'm just here to tell you that you got to let God's people go, because it's time, you know. And Pharaoh's like, who's this God? Like, this God has nothing on my gods. Like, get out of here, right? And so Moses is like, I don't know if that's a good idea. Like, you're going to make God mad. And then he's like, no, I don't care. Get out of my face. And so I'm paraphrasing, by the way. This is not how it goes in the book. Maybe the Message version, but anyways. Okay, so then he's like, so Pharaoh just refuses to listen to him, right? So then Moses is like, all right, I guess it's game on. So that's when God comes in, and then he's like, I'm going to send these plagues, and we're going to harden Pharaoh's heart. So that's when he sends the frogs amongst the land. He sends the locusts. He sends the boils. You know, boils. Boils are nasty. Like, and he sends lice. We all have had lice, right? No? Okay. Just kidding. That was just not me. Okay, anyways, So he says, yeah, and then he turns the water into blood. He does all of these things, right? And so you think that this would be enough. Like, you think that this would finally be the end, where Pharaoh would be like, oh, I can't take the lice anymore. Just take your people, right? No, he's like, game on still. And so we read in Exodus 7, 3 through 5. God says, but I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And though I multiply my signs and wonders in Egypt, he's not going to listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with a mighty act of judgment, I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it. So now we're getting to the last plague. So this was the one that really hurt Pharaoh's heart. This is the one where God sends a blood sacrifice to save his people. So he tells Moses, hey, tell all your people to sacrifice the lamb and place the blood of the lamb on your doors. And I'm going to send my spirit, and I'm pretty much going to come out and invade like the households. So all the Israelites get the memo, except obviously the Egyptians don't get it. So that night, We wake up and sorrow fills the land of Egypt, and everyone is crying. And we find that Pharaoh has finally experienced a hardened heart because Pharaoh's son ends up dying because of this, because of God's spirit. And so it sounds really sad, but it, you know, God promises that he's going to come through, and it might not look good for everyone. But so now we're at the point where the Israelites, they're released. Pharaoh finally says, go ahead, go away. I don't want you anymore. And so at this point, the Israelites are like celebrating. So we kind of see it at the end of the movie. They're like breaking out in song and dancing and stuff. And then it's like, yay, we won, right? Like everything's going to be good now. Life is going to be easy. But this is the part we don't see in the movie. And this is the part we're going to talk about tonight. They don't realize that the real journey is ahead of them. The real roller coaster is ahead of them. This crazy wild ride, they thought they went through it. That was just the beginning. That was not it. And so they're going to have to choose to trust God. And they're going to have to choose to trust him when there's ups and downs. And so I want us to do something together right now, something interactive. So earlier I talked about this life kind of looking like a roller coaster. So I want us to do something kind of fun together right now. So there's going to be some stuff on the screen. And what I want us to do is actually experience what this roller coaster life might have looked like for the Israelites in that time. But before we do that, we're going to kind of do some practice rounds. Okay, so when I go like this, you're going to go, yay! And then when I go like this, you're going to go, boo! This means something good is happening. This means something bad is happening. Do we get it? Okay, let's just do some practice rounds. Tech, you guys with me? All right, here we go. All right, Stranger Things coming out in July. But we had to wait a whole year for it. All right, Thanos' fate in Endgame. Iron Man's fate in Endgame. All right, the Snapchat girl and baby filter. Oh. The boys are like, boo, I'm pretty. Okay, how about this? Okay, this is kind of sad, but it's just true. When you look better in your Snapchat filter than you do in real life. Roll tie. I was going to say this one. Okay, what about this one? James Charles. All right, guys, that's it. We're ending the message now. Come on, guys. James Charles needs Jesus, too. I'm going to pray for all you people that booed. That's messed up. All right. Anyways, okay, now to the real stuff that matters. Okay, here we go. God's word. All of this is in Exodus. You'll see, like, little numbers on the side, and you can refer back to these verses later. Okay, so this is their journey, right? Remember, we're about to experience what they had to go through. So, okay, God shows that he is greater than all the gods of Egypt. Yes. God delivers his people through a blood sacrifice. Pharaoh changes his mind and comes back to attack the Israelites. But then God parts the Red Sea and makes a way for them. Then they travel through the desert without finding water. But then they find water. Then the water's bitter. Then Moses turns the bitter water not bitter. And then they find an oasis of water. But then they run out of food. And then God provides manna. All right, and quail. Then they find no water and complain. I don't know how do you say that word, Sawyer? Repetitive. All right. Rhythm. Remedy. Remedy, yes. Okay. All right. And then a last one. Moses strikes the rock and God told him. Moses strikes the rock as God told him and water gushes out. Yay. All right. Awesome. Give yourself a round of applause. You guys are great. Okay. So that was, I don't know about you, but that was tiring for me. You know, going like this, like, that was too much. Like, I don't, like, roll tide, exactly. How do you say, rolled tide? Okay. Roll Tide. Okay, cool. All right. So these people, they had to not only endure years of slavery and like this was their life, but now when they think that life is about to be good, they're going into this place, into the wilderness, and finding that now there's no food. Now there's no water. What's going to happen? And so now they're just wandering, right? But despite the ups and the downs, they were making progress in their spiritual journey in the wilderness. And so you might be in that place right now. You might be in a place where things just feel unsure and you don't know what's going to happen next. You might be wondering, when am I going to get a break? Like, when is this ride going to ever end? But God promises peace, and we just have to be willing to endure the journey to understand it. Which leads me to my next point. Life with God is a journey. So if there's something that we can learn, it's that life with God is a journey. Do you guys know how long it took them in the wilderness to reach Promised Land? 40 years. That's not weird at all, right? Like, oh yeah, it took 40 years. Like, they're walking. Like, they had cars back then. No. Like, that's, like, I feel like sometimes we like, whew, like, that just goes over our heads. Do you know how long it was really supposed to take? 7 days? Oh, I thought it was 11. Which one is it, Sawyer? 7-11. We're going there later. All right. Okay. anyways, so basically, this 7 to 11 day journey that was really supposed to take place ended up taking 40 years. Like, that's a, talk about a crazy detour. Talk about like getting lost. Boo, right? You guys for sure sound like them. And I don't know about you, but like I trip out when Chick-fil-A takes 15 minutes for my Frenchies or my chicken nuggies, right? Like they like hurry it up, right? That's why we have online ordering. Okay, anyways. All right. So just recently me and my team, we went to Joshua Tree because we went to go write some music that's going to be coming out soon. Yes. Yay. And so let's get a picture of what Joshua Tree looks like. Oh, we don't have it? Okay. So Joshua Tree looks kind of like this. Like these are the cactus. And there's a whole bunch of dirt everywhere. Like, it looks like the wilderness. There's really not much to it, honestly. But I don't know why Instagram just, like, blew it up. And now everyone, like, poses in front of a cactus. And it's, like, the cutest thing ever. And so, anyways, beside the point, we went to Joshua Tree. And we had an Airbnb over there. And so as we're like entering the land of Joshua Tree, we're like, where's our Airbnb? Like, it's supposed to be big. We're supposed to be able to see it. And so we're kind of like looking around and I'm like, I think it's over there. And so Fred's like, okay, cool. And so I'm like, why are you going over here? And Fred's like, oh, the map is telling us we need to go this way and that way and this way and that way. And I'm like, but it's right there. Like, we just cut through the trees, like, and we can go, right? And he's like, no, honey, we got to listen to the map. And so I'm like, okay, whatever. And so needless to say, we end up getting to our destination. None of our tires got popped by cacti, and we're good to go. And so, but this detour that we're talking about with the Israelites, it looked a little bit more like a spiritual detour. So it looked more like complaining. And it looked more like fighting against God. And so there's even a point where they tell Moses, they say, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots and meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you brought us out into the desert to starve. And now we're going to die. Pretty much that's what they say, right? And so, yeah, boo. You know, imagine like how Moses felt. He's like, me? Like, you're mad at me? Like, I was just listening to God. Like, this God's the one that led me here. Like, don't be mad at me. And imagine God. He's like, are you kidding me? He's like, bruh, you were in slavery for how many years? And, like, now you're not enslaved anymore? That was your destiny. That was your fate. And you saw me do miracles. You saw me turn water into blood. You saw me. Did you see the boils? Did you see the size of those boils? Like, I did that for you. And they're just like, we want food. We want food, right? Like, they're just like, give us what we want. And so, you know, that's kind of like some of you in here probably, you know, you have parents or people that care about you that they give you, you know, everything you need. They give you clothes and they give you food and they give you a roof over your head. And then you're like, hey, Dad, can I have a car? And they're like, let's wait on that. And then you're like, well, JT has a car. Like, why can't I get a car? Right? And so I feel like it's kind of like that. Like, and you know, what is our parents' response? They're usually like, am I JT's father? Like, and but God was their father. And God is like, I told you, you've seen me work in your life. Like, and so it's just funny how quickly we forget how God has come through for our lives when we face a bump in the road. You know, we have to be willing to trust God in the journey, because if we view life with God as momentary, we're going to end up taking shortcuts and we're going to end up getting lost. And so I think the number one reason why people today are still enslaved, they're still a slave to their sin, is because they don't trust that God is going to come through and deliver them. And they don't trust that God is going to be with them every step of the journey. So, you know, God will never lead us where his grace cannot provide for us and his power cannot protect us. And we need to remember that. We can clap for that. Just kidding. All right. So let me ask you guys this. Are we willing to embrace this wild journey? And are we willing to trust that God is going to be with us every step of the way? Which leads me to my last point. Life with God is fulfilling. Okay, but like, how many of us actually believe that? Like, it's okay, we can be honest. I feel like sometimes, like, we think, okay, church is the place where I have to put up this front. Like, if there's one place that we can be honest, I think it should be at church. And we as people should create an environment for other people to be able to do that. And so that was just a side thing. But, you know, if that's hard for you to believe that life with God is fulfilling, don't worry. You're not the only one. These Israelites had a hard time believing it too. And like I said, they had just seen the hand of God work and deliver them in their lives. And if I'm honest, I think some of us I think we have a hard time believing that God will come through because we don't want to let go of the things that are temporarily satisfying us. It's hard to let those things go. I think we just put way too much trust in the things around us, in the things of this world. And the thing is that this world is full of empty promises. You know, we live in a world where people's value is placed on how many likes they get on a picture. We live in a world where FOMO is very real and it has the power to ruin relationships. We live in a world where everyone has a platform to say whatever they want about whoever they want. And they think that's going to cover up for the insecurity that's really lying within them. But, you know, none of that was meant to help us. None of that was meant to satisfy us. And none of that was meant to fulfill us. The verb fulfill means to fill a need or a want. And, you know, I've done some quote-unquote fulfilling things in this life. Like, things that probably make my Instagram feed look like I'm kind of important, or like make me feel at least that I'm kind of important. But by far the most fulfilling thing I've ever done in this life was allow the presence of Jesus Christ to take residence in my heart. And it was when I gave myself permission to let go of the things that I thought I could never let go of, the things that made me happy, the things that brought me satisfaction. And it wasn't until I realized that I needed to just surrender and allow God to fill me. And it was when I said, you know what, God? I'm going to trust that your ways are better than my ways. And I'm going to trust that you actually love me more than I love me. And that's when I found completeness and wholeness. It was when I choose to chose. It was when I choose to believe his promises. And I think some of us in this room tonight, we have a hard time trusting God's promises. And we have a hard time letting go of the things that make us happy right now. In high school, man, gosh, it's rough. Like, you won't know until you're out of high school, but there are things, this life is filled with things that is telling us that, like, this is the only way you can live. This is the only way you can get through this. And that's just a lie. Like, that's just a lie from the enemy, literally from the pit of hell. Like, God calls us to trust him. And so I know in a room filled with this many people, there has to be someone in here that is going through a hard time. I know that there's someone in this room that is experiencing hurt and pain and experiencing a loss of trust. Maybe there was someone that they really trusted that was like really close to them and they broke that. I know there's some of you in this room that are experiencing the burden of having to fake this whole church thing. And I know that there's some of you that are just feeling like there's never going to be an end to this journey. And that, you know, you've been taken off course and you've been lost and you don't know if you're ever going to find the track again. But we can trust God's promises. And just like they stood true for the Israelites back then, they still stand true for us today. They're the same. He promises victory. He promises to fully supply our every need. He promises restoration. He promises peace. He promises that he'll never leave us or forsake us. But the best promise of all is that he promises that one day we will make it to the land of milk and honey, and we will not have to experience hurt or pain anymore. And so tonight, I want to give anyone in this room an opportunity to connect or reconnect with Jesus with that love that he offers. Because God, he wants us to experience his presence, you know, not just here at HSM where there's like big lights and there's an amazing speaker and there's a relevant message and there's friends. Like, he wants you to experience God in your room. Like, he wants you to experience him in your car. Like, and he wants you to be fulfilled and fully satisfied. And so no longer do we need to be caged up, only getting a taste of him. He wants us to experience him in his fullness of love and mercy. So tonight, I want to offer that to you tonight. He offers it to us freely. Like I said, it was the best decision I ever made, was to walk with him and to trust him. And so if that's you tonight, if you're having a hard time trusting God, that's okay. It happens. But he wants to come through for you. He's gonna come through for you. So tonight I want to pray for you. I want you to know that you have purpose and that you matter. So let's go ahead and pray together right now. God, we come before you as broken and messy people. God, a lot of times we think that we run this life and we think that our ways are better than yours. And we just want to say sorry. Sorry that we've complained against you and we've fought against you. God, when you've come through for us time after time, and yet we've chosen to doubt you. Tonight, God, I want to lift up the person in here that is really feeling hurt, that their heart literally hurts. I pray, God, that you remind them that you are the God of restoration and you heal broken hearts. God, I pray that tonight your Holy Spirit would just stir inside of us and break walls down. And so with this attitude of prayer and all of our heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you an opportunity tonight to receive that love that is so freely given. I want to give you an opportunity to trust God. And so we're going to pray this prayer together. I want every single voice in this room to be lifted up, because I think this is a prayer that all of us just need to say over and over again. So together, let's say this. We say, Father God, I know that you love me. I know that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. I know that you know what's best for me. And tonight I acknowledge that you are the only thing that can fulfill me. I ask that you come into my heart, fill me with your love, fill me with your grace, and have your way. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yay.